The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is James Vandenberg, CEO of Trufin. TRU is ticker. James, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure, Justin.
Now, you've released a trading update highlights for the year, and I've got to say, every metric pretty much I'm looking at is improving. And when I look at companies, that's the kind of thing I look at. Is it improving? And it seems to be improving. So we'll go through that in a bit, the detail of the update. Before we do, James, for people maybe not familiar with Trufin and not quite sure what it is, just explain what you're about, please, if you could.
Yep, so Trufin, so collectively, we've got three businesses, and collectively, we provide software and niche lending solutions to thousands, tens of thousands of businesses across the UK via those companies. We've got Oxygen, which is an early payments business, predominantly selling to the local government space. Satago, which is an invoice financing platform that is now selling lending as a service product to banks. And we've also got a very significant interest in a predominantly console gaming business called PlayStack. So those are the three businesses. We had a company called Virtus last year, which we've now sold.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you could, before we get into the individual parts there, just give us a top line of the financial highlights, if you would.
Yeah, certainly. So last year, so the 12 months ended 31st of December, we grew in excess of 30%. So our top line revenue grew to 20.2 million. Our EBITDA loss improved significantly. So we saw an improvement of 47%. To 3 million, and our adjusted loss before tax is going to be in line with market expectations. That's the Liberum's expectations at no more than 6.3 million. So, again, that improved versus last year. Mm. So, across the board, I think, as you quite rightly say, across the board, things are improving. When it comes to the individual entities, Oxygen grew revenues by 18%, Satago grew revenues by 72%. And PlayStack also grew revenue significantly. So, yeah, across the board, we're growing fast. The underlying metrics are improving, and the key KPIs that we follow very closely as a company are looking very, very resilient. So we're very pleased with progress.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, you mustn't miss off there, because investors always, I said, if you're currently lost making business, one of the most important things is cash. And how much cash do you have, and how long will the cash last?
Cash at the year end is no less than 9 million, of which unrestricted cash is no less than 5.5. And we go and say the group is fully funded to profitability.
That there is a key phrase, fully funded to profitability. I like that a lot. And in fact, do you know what? I was looking at the broker forecast earlier on, and they've got a target currently, which is about 150% up on the current share price. And I was just looking at the growth.
They're very conservative, Justin.
Yeah, they've been very conservative. Yeah, I was just looking at the current growth forecast and where you've come from, really, actually, and where you're going. So, you know, from 21 to 22, 23% growth top line. 22 to 23, 25% growth. 23 to 24, 58% growth forecasted, and even gone beyond that. It was the figures are getting bigger here, so the percentage growth is harder. But even then, from 24 to 25, around about 38% top line growth. That's really firing up and kicking into gear there, isn't it?
It certainly is, and you've got to remember that this year to 23, we were expecting higher growth. So one of the things, even though we grew in excess of 30%, which is great, we were expected to grow faster. The Q4 revenues at PlayStack were lower than expected, even though it grew significantly last year, because a number of platform deals that we were looking to sign, we didn't manage to close in Q4 last year. So that meant that the overall revenue, group revenue for 23 was lower than expected, but we didn't change our 2024 forecasts because those are unique individual transactions that don't go on to impact 2024. Now, obviously, those deals are still in the pipeline, we're still discussing negotiations with. So those deals that didn't fall in 2023 may well go on to fall in 2020, or we may conclude in 2024, which would make the growth even faster. But we didn't change our 24 and 25 forecasts because those deals don't impact the forecast for 24 and 25. So that's why it looks like an artificial step up in growth, which is great. And we may, you know, we're obviously looking to conclude those platform deals as well. So we'll see. So that's the rationale. Each of the companies is doing fantastically incredible things across the board. And So yeah, the numbers you're talking about are, you know, eminently achievable.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? And I did say there's, you know, everything's improving. The only negative I found was the delays in play stack, and that was the only sort of negative thing there. And I suppose the share price has dipped recently, and there's been a lot of gaming companies have taken a massive hit, and you know, even the best of the best are down like over 50%. And so, do you think that's part of the reason why? Because you've got play stack. Do you think a bit of sentiment is knocking the share price?
Well, I think, obviously the rate's higher, but there's a general risk off. And Treepin is a sort of a unique asset. You know, obviously I love it, but I can see why it is a relatively complex asset company relative to a simple company that does, you know, one thing. And we've got three businesses that we think all three do their thing very well. And so naturally shareholders are going to take less time to look at Treepin than they might some other asset. And obviously our job as the management team and the board is to make sure that we realize full value for all shareholders from all the assets. And we feel that, you know, and if we do that, then the target price that Liberum got is very conservative. I think you're absolutely right though on PlayStack and gaming as a whole, singling out PlayStack for the industry as a whole. Post COVID, when there was a sort of artificial bump as a result of COVID, the industry did overinvest, not just in people, but in investments, etc. And that has come back to bite them as the market sort of reset. The trend, the overall trend of gaming is still on the up. Gaming is still bigger than Hollywood and the NBA put together. I mean, it's an amazing industry to be in, but there's definitely been a bit of a reset. And some of the larger platforms, I won't mention any of the names, have definitely curbed their spending, which has impacted the overall revenue of some of the console gaming businesses. But we're very confident on PlayStack going forward. And I think maybe sentiment is a bit too negative on some of these console and gaming companies.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've got two sons. Okay. One's 14. In fact, one's his birthday today. He's had a new PC to play, do game basically. That's all they do. It's just dragging them off the games is the problem. Yeah. There's no lack of demand there. They love it. So, you know, I'm testing with that.
Tell them there's a great game called Mortal Shell and The Last Faith and the AK Slotle. And I'll send you a few links to get them to play.
But I understand why people sort of, you know, went overboard and all they did in COVID was that. But let's be honest, the trend isn't going down. More people are getting gaming, you know.
And it's not 14 year it's not just 14 year old boys who play, it's everyone who plays, it's adults as well, so it's a fantastic industry to be in.
So let's touch on Oxygen.
Just going in, one of the reasons in the trading updates, if your listeners do go through our trading update, we gave a lot more granularity on PlayStack at the end of the trading update. I'm sure you've read it all, Justin.
Yeah.
But we talk about how the business. So in 2021, one of our games made up 85% of PlayStack's revenue. And last year, 23, 85% of the revenues were generated from eight games. So it's a much more diversified business. Mm-hmm. And we then go on to, and we've got six further major launches this year. We go on to talk about the returns on capital. So again, a lot of investors and maybe your listeners think of gaming as, you know, you've got to throw a lot of mud at the wall and hope something sticks. But actually, if you look at the data of the returns that we get on the advances that we make to developers, the returns we talk about, we get over, well, if you no cherry picking, all the console games, PC games we've ever PlayStack's ever launched since inception, the average return on invested capital is over 380%. With an IRR of 300%. And if you exclude our highest grossing game, the average return on invested capital is still 91% with an average rated IRR of over 200%. So, and the highest ROI from a single game is over 1,000%. And we've lost money in one game and we lost £16,000. So the point is, if I heard those returns for any other business in any other sector, people would be falling over themselves to invest in a business that can create a repeatable process to generate those types of returns. And that's what PlayStack's doing. And so we're going into a lot more detail in this RNS about PlayStack, about the returns it's capable of generating, and we expect to continue to generate in the future.
Yeah, that's almost reminiscent the way that, you know, the place like is managed there is almost like portfolio management. Is it risk management?
Yeah, it is. Knowing well, how to do my, it. My know? Background, my yeah. background is, as you know, portfolio management. So that's exactly, we ignored all the noise, just go into the detail, go look at the data. And if this were a portfolio manager mm-hmm. or a PE fund or whatever it is, you look at that and go, these returns are sensational. And most importantly, it's a repeatable process. This is not, you know, an art form. Yes, there's a lot of skill within the PlaceStack team, but we've got tech that allows us to identify games early. We've got a process to select the games, to publish games, to distribute the games, the relationships we have with some of the largest technology companies in the world, which we're not allowed to name, but I'm sure you've seen. So we've got a process that from start to finish means that we see that there's a very repeatable process. Whether the returns are as high as those in the future is to be seen, but it's certainly a very, very repeatable, scalable process. And that's what PlaceStack's going to continue to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Marcel. Okay, well, let's move to Oxygen, number one in the market. Just touch on what it does, James, if you could.
Yeah, so Oxygen offers early payment software to predominantly, it does have other clients outside local government, predominantly local government clients. So that means the software puts in software and processes into large councils in the UK, and that software, along with the internal team from the councils being trained up, it allows them to pay their invoices early. So rather than paying on conventional terms, which may be 30 or 60 days, with the software that and the systems that Oxygen integrates into councils, it means that councils are paying their suppliers earlier than that predetermined date, and the discount, say a council pays on day 10 rather than day 30, that extra day of acceleration of payment, the council receives a rebate for that disc, for that accelerated payment, and in a world of higher interest rates and tighter liquidity, etc., it's even more attractive to suppliers to have payments early. So we are effectively facilitating acceleration into the local economies up and down the UK, and we get a cut of the rebate the council receives from the suppliers. So that's the majority of our business is that. We also have a data side of the business called Insight Solutions, which aggregates data on tenders, etc., and sells it back to suppliers who are looking to tender into councils and also the councils themselves.
Yeah, well, is it £1 billion worth of transactions going through this?
Oh yes, upwards of that. I forgot to mention these contracts are 5 years in nature, so they're very long date with fantastic clients, and the contracts tend to be renewed very frequently. So they are very long dated contracts. Hundreds of billions are going through. We have a part of the program is called Free Pay, which we initiated a few years ago, which is for small and micro suppliers for our clients. They can pay their small and micro suppliers early. So say moves from day 30 to day 10 or instantly, and they pay those suppliers with no discount. So if they owe the window cleaner £100, they pay the window cleaner £100 on day zero rather than day 30. So which adds enormous value into the local economy, and there's no charge for the local supplier. So last year we facilitated free early payment of over £600 million to local small and local suppliers, which is an amazing achievement. So and that was around 15,000 small suppliers. The year before it was around 10,000. So that's growing really fast, and it's an amazing thing for local councils and government to be able to offer to their suppliers, and it's really helping us when it comes to pitching the product to councils, etc. So it's wonderful to see that initiative work so well.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it's growing there. And you said looking ahead, what pipeline exceeding 100 potential early pay clients, 40 of which are active. And there's quite a high proportion of, is it half? Is it two products or more? Is that right?
Yeah, so on the pipeline side, we've got over 50 clients today. We are the number one. In fact, the number two has one client and is no longer offering that service to that client. So we are there's always someone who pops up and tries to compete with Oxygen. And whenever I see it, I think, good luck, because you don't. No one's got the time frame or the capital to replicate, I don't believe, what Oxygen has built. So, obviously, we're not complacent, but we feel we're in a really, really dominant position. And yes, one of the strategic initiatives 3 years ago was to look to sell other products to our clients. So we have a fantastic relationship with our clients, which we really value. They value all the work Oxygen puts in, and the value of the service. And so we and our clients were saying, "What else have you got that you can provide us?" So we look. At some point, Oxygen won't be part of Trufin. At that point, we want to prove to the future owner that Oxygen has got these fantastic relationships. And it's all very well saying they've got great relationships, but actually the only way you can prove that is, can you distribute other product into those clients? So we started cross-selling other products, our own products and other third-party products into our clients over the last few years. So this year, 23, 50% of our client, of our current accounts client, of our early payment clients, purchased two or more products from Oxygen. The year before was 17%. The year before that was around 9%. So we're proving again, which makes, we believe, Oxygen, you know, even more valuable to, let's say, a private equity buyer that wants to do a buy and build or a land and expand, whatever the, you know, the ambitions they may have. We're proving the value of Oxygen in that, you know, if that's their plans in the future. So that's the initiative, and also obviously we want to grow the products we offer to our, you know, to our clients, because we think they add enormous value.
Yeah. Do you know, it's nice the dynamic you have between these, you know, different parts of the business, because, you know, Oxygen there, like you say, a lot of visibility, you know, reliable clients there, and steady adding, and, you know, literally, you know, the clients stay with you for a long time.
Yeah.
And next one is Satago. Like I said, it's you know, like whenever I look at companies, I'm trying to find companies that are best in class. And what does that mean? It's hard to evaluate what's best in class. But when you see, you know, some FTSE 100 companies using the product of a small company, thinking, why aren't they developing their own products? Because obviously it's quite complex to do. But they obviously realize the product out there is better than what they have, or anything out there. So, and Satago seems to be like that. And Lloyds is, you know, working with a huge business like Lloyds can take time, because different layers of management, all that, it's very complex. But I said that, you know, the customers they have are huge. But it's seemingly starting to take off now, isn't it?
It is. And just going back one thing, and before we go into, sorry, one thing to remember on Oxygen is, because of the nature of the contracts, that they are slow burn. We've done all the heavy lifting on Oxygen. It's now profitable. It paid Trufin back a dividend last year. And 90% of the future growth that we've got, or the analysts have got forecast, is from clients already contracted with. So if we don't win another client, 90% of the future businesses is in the bag. So it just, and obviously every year you can see from the pipeline, every year we win more and more clients. So just want to make sure that that's your listeners fully understand that the durable nature of Oxygen. Yes, on Satago, you're absolutely right. To win not just Lloyds but also Sage, and to have them as clients is an amazing achievement, and proves the value of what Satago is bringing to these entities. So, yeah, we're thrilled by what's going on. We're very lucky to have Lloyds not just as a client but as a shareholder in Satago, and our relationship with Sage is fantastic. So we are, you know, there's many years of growth ahead at Satago. Many more clients that we're speaking, potential clients that we're speaking to, other banks you can imagine in the UK and elsewhere. So we've got an extremely healthy pipeline, and the team there are looking to continue to deliver on the various milestones that we set ourselves, we and our clients have set ourselves.
Yeah, well, just looking at the growth here, and if you can measure it in some way, I mean, I'd say revenue's gone up 70%. Of course, at the moment it's from a small base, but, you know, from 2.2 to 3.8. But nevertheless, when you see that subscriptions have doubled. The subscriptions that people are doing is from, what is it, from 430 to 967.
Yeah,
that's got a long tail there, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, it's we like you say, it's from a small base, and we don't want to be complacent. But the opportunity set in Satago is very, very large, and we're growing. It's growing fast. We're focused on delivering for our clients a phenomenal product for their clients, and for their clients a phenomenal service. And that if we do that and we continue to do that, then Satago will flourish. So yeah, it's great to see these numbers come through. We think they're set to continue. Well, they will continue. But it's great. It's great to see the company really beginning to flourish.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So what's your favorite business today, James? Which is your favorite one?
Well, it's like, you tell me which one's your favourite child, Justin?
Exactly, I know. The one that's quietest doesn't bother me the most.
But you like a bit of flair sometimes as well, don't you?
They've all
I've been involved with all of them since Treefin has been involved and pre-Treefin. So it's great to see them all hitting their stride.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going well. And like I said, hopefully, we'll catch up soon because, like I said, everything here is seemingly improving. The only negative that could read into it is slight delays in PlayStack. But like I said, it's just delays. So, it's nice to see the story evolve, James. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.